Good morning. How is everyone doing this morning? Hopefully you're doing great. One more time. Everyone doing all right this morning? Yes, that's good. That's good. Ready to worship, ready to continue worshiping the Lord as we open up the Word of God this morning, hopefully. Take out your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 18. Inside of the bulletin is an insert with the outline of the message this morning. And this morning we're going to talk about develop your spiritual potential. Continuing our series, Taking a Journey with God. By the time the Israelites left Egypt, there were about 2 million of them. The Bible tells us there were 600,000 men, excluding women and children, so we estimate there was probably around 2 million. As Moses could see that the people, so he looked out at the people, he could not meet all their needs by himself. He could see that. And we could understand 2 million people. Moses needed to find ways that the people would not become stagnant spiritually, but they would and continued to grow. That was his point. They needed to continue to grow. In Exodus chapter 18, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, shared with Moses some suggestions to develop the people so they wouldn't become stagnant. You know, in my ministry, I've seen over the years people desire to grow, desire to really serve Jesus. I've seen this. And their desire so much that they would do whatever they had to do to get themselves ready to serve the Lord. And I remember this one lady who was a single lady who had 2 children, and she had the desire to help people. She really had a desire that she wanted to be a Christian counselor. But how was she going to accomplish that? She realized she needed to get some training. So what she finally did, she finally started taking some classes. And after a couple years, about 3 years, she finally earned her degree. And she started to counsel. And I remember she counseled about 3 years. And after 3 years, she opened up a Christian counseling center. And she actually had 4 or 5 other counselors working for her. This lady took a step out of faith, got herself equipped and trained, and she used her talents and her gifts to glorify God, and God gave her the desires of her heart. Her dream was to do that, and he finally gave that to her. And she had to do that by getting help and getting developed and getting trained and all those kind of things. And so she was one that we have an example that was getting equipped and trained, developing herself. But what happens when you don't develop, and that's kind of the intro I want to give you before we get to the heart of the message. Moses learned 2 things when people don't develop themselves. 2 things for you and 2 things for us to all learn. First, if people don't develop themselves, the people's needs are not met. When you don't develop yourself, you're unable to help others. Your spiritual well is kind of dry. And how are you going to help someone else if you're not developed? How are you going to take someone where you've never been? You're not going to be able to do that. There's nothing you can do to help others, and so you're not going to be able to help. You're going to see that. And Moses learned that. Their needs are not met. Second, he learned that others will grow tired. If you don't develop yourself, then you're not going to be able to help to minister to others. And those that are serving will soon grow tired. And what usually happens to that? Burn out. We're not going to be able to accomplish what we need to accomplish. The key point from this message, the key point that Moses is getting across, you and I need to understand is you cannot do it alone. I can't do it by myself. The elders cannot do it by themselves. We cannot do it alone, but it takes all of us to do our part. God did not make any of us to be an island. Didn't make us any of us to stand alone, but all of us to work together in community is what the Bible says. So you need to do your part. I need to do my part so we can accomplish what God wants us to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14, it says this. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. The body's made up of many parts. And each part in the body is just as important as all the other parts, is what the Bible says. And so every part has to be doing their part inside of the body so we can function properly, so the church can function properly. This morning, I want to give you 5 principles for spiritual development that we have from this passage of Scripture. That we're going to find out spiritual development doesn't happen by chance, but happens by intentionality. It happens by us being intentionally being equipped and trained and being developed. It's just not going to happen, wake up, hey, I'm developed. It doesn't happen that way. We're going to find that out. In Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 through 19, let's read that together. It says, the next day Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, what is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening? Moses answered him, because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions. You and these people who come to you will only wear out. No, verse 17, Moses' father-in-law replied, what you are doing is not good. Verse 18, you and these people who come to you will only wear themselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice. May God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. The first principle for spiritual development that we see from this passage is development is essential for continued growth and maturity. Development is essential for you to grow and be mature in Christ, for you to grow in your faith and be mature. Moses needed to develop the people so they could grow up in their spiritual walk, so they could help and help him what he needed to do, so they could come along the side of Moses and help him to minister to the needs of others. He could not do it alone. You can imagine 2 million people standing in line to come to meet him. You can imagine. He could not do it alone. So his father-in-law, Jethro, says, Moses, what you need to do, you need to develop the people. You need to have them come alongside of you and help you to accomplish what you need to accomplish. You cannot do it alone. You will burn yourself out. So the one key that he learned, he had to develop the people. He had to help the people to grow in their faith. He had to help the people walk in maturity in their faith. In 1 Peter 2:2, it says this, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now, all those that have children here, when you first had the baby, and you remember when you had the baby, I mean, it's been a long time for me, but I have grandchildren, but you take that little baby home, and it's so great, and you know the baby has needs, and you take the baby home, and every 2 hours, 3, 4 hours, you got to feed the baby, right? 24/7. It doesn't say in the daytime, it's 24/7. So at nighttime, sometimes a baby wakes you up 2 o'clock, maybe 3 o'clock, maybe 4, 5, whatever it does, maybe a couple times during the night to change and feed the baby. And you're all right with that. Why? Because you know it's going to happen for a short time, right? It's for a short time. You realize it's not going to happen for 18 years, at least you hope it don't. You realize it's for a short time. So you're all right for maybe about a year, year and a half. Maybe I got to wake up like this. Sooner or later, they're going to get out of phase of development. They're going to start growing, and their bellies are going to be filled. They're going to be able to last throughout the night and be able to eat the following morning, right? And you're hoping for that, and you can't wait to that day many times till they develop that part of their life. Well, God wants his children to develop too. He doesn't want them to stay as little babes in Christ where they have to be fed the bottle all the time and they're sucking on the bottle all the way till they when they get to be teenagers and 20 years old and 30, they're still sucking on the bottle. God says you need to develop in your life, to advance in your spiritual development, to get out of that where you need to be fed by others every 2 hours. And he said you need to start growing in your faith. Sometimes we look at our children or teenagers, we say you need to grow up and be mature. Sometimes when they're 20-year-olds, we'd say that. Sometimes when they're in their 30s, we say, you need to grow up and start acting mature. We say that many times. Well, God says that to his children. You need to grow up spiritually and start being mature and developing those phases of life where now you're mature and no longer just craving spiritual milk, but able to take the meat of the word, and that's what God wants for each and every one of us. To grow up in our development, not stay that little babe that constantly needs to be fed by someone else, but sooner or later, you're feeding yourself in developing. The second principle for spiritual development is development requires training. It's not going to happen by itself. In verse 20, it says, teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. So Jethro tells his son-in-law, says Moses was to teach the people God's laws and his commands so they know how to walk with God. That's what he had to do. How do you know how to walk with God? By teaching God's laws and his commands. Moses was to train the people. Moses was to train the people so to develop them so they could help him, to help him what he needed to do. The people weren't going to be trained by themselves, but Moses had to come up with a plan to train the people and develop them as we see this. It doesn't happen automatic. It happens when we're intentional about being it. It's when we're coming on ourselves and being trained. None of you just wake up one day and you're equipped and trained to do what God has called you to do. If you've ever been worked for a job, when you first start in a job, they train you to do the job. And really, the more you're trained, the better you are at your job, is it not? Hopefully they train you on your job. And over the time, they usually might send you to conferences or seminars or have people come in and train you to make you better equipped and trained to do your job more efficient and better at it. That's what you do. You teach and train your children to grow and how to do the right things in life. That's what we do. So they may grow up to live a productive life and able to function in our society. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way they should go. The Bible starts and says, the children are little children. We're to start training them because the children already know what not to do, but we're to train them what to do, what is the right thing to do. And the Bible tells us we're to train them in the right things to do. So God wants his children to be trained so they can reach the potential. If we are not trained We're never going to reach our potential. And how are we to train him? We're to train him with the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, if you have not memorized this verse, I would encourage you to highlight in your Bible, put a circle around it, because it's such an important passage of Scripture. I know I say that a lot, but it says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is telling you and I that this book that I have here is not a piece of furniture. It's not to sit down and collect dust when we take it home and pick it up on Sunday. Hey, I got to bring my Bible. Where did I put it? I forgot where it is. We should know right where it is. It's not to put up on a bookshelf someplace to look nice. It's not to sit down on a coffee table and look nice. Hey, look at that nice piece of furniture. They have a Bible. Isn't that impressive? It's not to be like that. It's a book that's to be used, the Bible says. And it's to be used to equip and train you and I so we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work that God has for us. Not just sit around and just to be empty there, but to use, to actually get into the Word of God. And my question for you is, are you a student of God's Word? The only one that can really answer that question is you. God knows, and you know. And you can fool everyone else in this room, oh yeah, I'm a student of the Word. But many times we can see maybe in how you act, how you respond, your motives and all those things. But are you a student of His Word? Because God wants you to be a student of His Word. He wants you to really have a hunger for His Word, to get into His Word. And what I want to ask you, is you putting yourself under all the training that is possible for you to have? Are you getting yourself equipped and trained? Are you allowing yourself to be trained? And the way we do it here at Crossroads is not only on Sunday morning. Hopefully you're getting more than just on Sunday morning, you're reading it yourself. But our small groups is a great way to be trained. A great way to get in Bible study, learn the Word of God. Monday night, I have a discipleship class. Great way to be trained. We have student ministries. They're training in our middle school and high school. On Wednesday night and Sunday nights, a great way to be trained. We have children's ministry where the children are right now getting equipped and trained. And it's a great way. And we invite you to be a part of that and don't miss it. It's so important. It's so vital in your walk because it's not going to happen by chance. Just not going to happen. It's going to happen by you being intentional, by you being a part of it, by you putting yourself and sacrificing your time and say, this is important enough for me to do that I'll be equipped and trained. And that's what Moses had to do. He had to equip and train the people. Was it going to require sacrifice for Moses? Yes. Was there going to be benefits? Absolutely. The third principle for spiritual development is development requires character. Character. Character is what he's saying. God doesn't want you just to know the Word of God, just to say, I know it. He wants it to change your character. He wants it to change who you are. He wants to transform you. In verse 21, it says this, but select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And you look at this, and it sounds like small groups. He says, Moses, what you need to do is break the people up in groups. And you have leaders over those groups that are lead them. And some of them are large groups. But he says to break them up in groups and have leaders over those groups. He says, Moses, what you need to do is find capable men with godly character to help them to minister, to help you to minister to all these people to meet the needs of others. That's what you're supposed to look for, Moses, are those kind of men. In order for us to be what God wants us to be, your character has to be godly. That's a criteria that God has. It has to be transformed. God says, I just don't want you to live this life like you lived it before you came to Christ, but I want your character to be transformed, for it to be different, not you to be the same you were before. See, when we come to Jesus, God said, I accept you the way you are, but God never meant for you to stay that way. He accepts us the way we are. There's no stumbling block. You come as you are, and Jesus accepts you, but Jesus never expects any of us to stay the way we are. He wants to transform our character and make us who he wants to be. And that's what he wants to do in your life, in my life. And one of the ways he does that, he tells Moses, is find capable men. And I kind of like that word capable, but I used another word. He wants us to be reliable. Be reliable. Are you reliable? Part of being a godly person is being a reliable person, is being someone who is dependable, a person you can depend on. That's what he's saying. Moses, find people you can depend upon. Find capable men. Find reliable people. And Paul gives this instruction to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2. It's up on the screen. It says, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Now, Timothy was supposed to pour his life into people who are reliable. Paul says, Timothy, I want you to find reliable people, and I want you to pour your life into those people. And we see here in this 2 Timothy 2:2, discipleship is built on that. That's kind of how I built discipleship here at the church. Reliable people. It's kind of four generations in that passage of Scripture. Paul says, what I've taught you, Timothy. So we see Paul teaching Timothy. He says, what I have taught you, Timothy, in front of many witnesses. Now you're to find reliable people who you pour yourself into, Timothy. So we have Paul, Timothy, someone else. And he says to Timothy, now they're to be qualified so they can train someone else. Four generations right there. Multiplying himself, Paul was through one person, now through Timothy, through someone else, and through others. And it continues to go like that. And that's the way we're supposed to do. Equip and train people. We have the example with Jesus with his apostles. He trained those 12, but then he had that inner circle. Peter, James, and John. He trained those so they might train others. We have Paul. He had Titus and Timothy so they might train others. We see this. Godly character will demonstrate itself in reliability. Look for reliable people, dependable people, capable people is what he says. God wants the truth passed on to reliable people. Why would he want that? To make sure the message is passed on. The question is, are you reliable? Are you dependable? Only you can answer that. The transmission of the gospel truth, the transmission of this truth is so great. It's so great. It depends on each of us being reliable to pass it on to the next generation. That's what the Bible's saying. And he wants us to be reliable, capable people that can handle the truths of God's word that you and I might pass it on to the next generation. The next generation depends upon you passing it down. Your children and so forth and so on depends upon you. God has given each one of you gifts, talents, and you're to use those. Be reliable and use those to take this message and to give to others, to take God's truth and live out the life before them. Godly character is also to be shown not being be reliable, but also fear God. He says, find those that fear God, men who fear God. Fear does not mean live in terror. Sometimes we think, I'm terrified of God. But all in reverence, which leads to obedience. That's what it means. A person who never really respects people will never have a really respect for God. If you don't respect God, you won't respect people. Because people are made in the image of God. In the book of Proverbs, it talks about the fear of the Lord. And I want to go through several passages of Scripture and explains what it is. So you and I can get a good understanding what the fear of the Lord means. In Proverbs chapter 1, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In chapter 9, it says the beginning of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In chapter 14, it is a fountain of life. In chapter 15, it's instruction of wisdom. In chapter 8, it's to hate evil is the fear of the Lord. In chapter 10, it prolongs life. In chapter 14, it gives strong confidence. In chapter 16, the fear of the Lord keeps people away from sin. That's what it does. It is obvious that the fear of the Lord doesn't mean that we're to be terrified and afraid of God. That's not what it means at all. But it's a reverential trust in God that makes us want to remain obedient to God in all things. We want to remain obedient. My question is, are you living right now in fear of the Lord? Do you fear him? Do you say, boy, I fear God. Do you hate evil? Long for wisdom. Want to live in obedience to God. Is that your heart and your motive? It says, I long for wisdom. I hate evil. I want to see sin the way you see it, God, that you hate it and I hate it. Love the sinner, but hate their sin. That we hate sin. Do you see it like God? God says, I want that every part of your being is bent on pleasing God. That's what he wants. That's what fear of the Lord means. That you hate sin. And you don't want to sin against God. You're doing everything you can. I do not want to sin against you, God, because I realize how much an affront it is, and an offense against you. That I fear you, that I don't want to sin against God, but I want to walk in obedience. That's what God wants for each and every one of us. That we walk in obedience because we fear the Lord in everything, in everything. Godly character also speaks truthfully. It's the next one. In 1 Peter 4:11, it says this. If anyone speaks, they should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Whatever words come out of your life are to be truth. truthful. Everything that comes out of our mouth should be truthful. We're to speak words of truth. But we're supposed to speak that truth in love, to demonstrate love as we're speaking it. I wrote down here, lies destroy truth, but once trust is gone, the relationship is difficult to restore. That's why we're supposed to speak truth. Once we start lying, it destroys relationship, destroys us, and it destroys everything around us. When people hear words coming out of your mouth, they should be words of truth. That's what we're to speak, truth. It should be uplifting. It should be wholesome. It should be edifying. It should be building others up. That's what God wants us to do. Build others up with his truth. Not to share anything, but truth. People need to know that you're a truth teller. They need to know that what you say is truth. It's always truthful. And how do we do that? It's by reading the word of God. This is truth. God's word is truth. So the more we take in God's word, the more truth's going to come out of our mouth. Because what's ever on our heart will be what's come out of our mouth. And God wants us to saturate our hearts and our minds with his truth. So that's what comes out of it. That's what should come out of our mouth, is God's truth, his words of wisdom. Years ago, right after I got saved, so this is many, many years ago, I met this man, and he was a great guy. He was a great guy, and I became friends with him. But I have to admit, he wasn't really smart. And I hate to say that. I mean, when you talk to him, he talked about foolish things. It was very foolishness. It was kind of nonsense things. I mean, this guy's just foolish. Well, this guy came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he really fell in love with Jesus and his word. He really became a student of God's word. And I was in some Bible studies and other things with this man. And I remember at church one time, and I'm talking to someone else, and there was someone behind me. And I remember hearing this guy sharing with this other gentleman that he was going through some tough times and didn't know what he was going to do. And all of a sudden, this guy starts opening up and he starts counseling this man. And he starts pouring open like the word of God and counseling with God's word. And he's telling him all these great things. And then I start hearing him kind of praying right there in front of everyone, praying over this man. And I thought to myself, I don't know if you ever overheard conversations and I just got to know who this is. So I turn around and it's that guy that I thought was so foolish just a couple years before. See, that guy, what he did, he got himself into the word of God, and God's word made him wise. That's what God's word does. It gives you wisdom. Now, no longer do people say, boy, this guy's nonsense. People were going to this man in just a couple of years because he was filled with wisdom and able to bestow the wisdom that God has given to him and help counsel other people, help fill them with knowledge that they needed at that time to be able to get through whatever problems they had. He was over there praying with them. I mean, it was a prayer that we would all rejoice over, a wonderful prayer, but because he was filled with God and his word, that's what changed his life. If you're looking to, man, I want to become smart, this is what makes you smart. Many of the principles made in this world are built from the promises and the principles of God's word. And once we learn about God's word, become this person is so wise. And people come to you because, boy, this person's got wisdom because all they're giving is the truths right out of God's word. And that's what he wants us to give. The truths from God's word. And it makes you wise. Wise, and you start changing. It transforms you, and you start talking differently. You start sharing the wisdom from his word, and people look at you and start saying, man, where'd you get all this knowledge? Where'd you get all this wisdom? It's from God's word. Godly character also is to give us integrity. Moses was to find people who hate dishonest gain. Now, some people are dishonest and serve God what they can gain from it personally. That's why they serve. Many times position and powers, but sometimes they can use the position for dishonest gain, and sometimes it can be financially. Always looking to benefit themselves. Always looking for what's best for themselves. The Bible says this person lacks integrity. In order to serve God, you have to be a person of integrity. You have to be an honest person. Or a person who hates dishonest gain, as the Bible says. You're a person of integrity. God wants us to be honest people. Imagine that. God says, do not lie. He wants us to be honest people. He wants us to be people of integrity. Why does he want that? Why does God want that for us? Because integrity is a wholesome and moral completeness. And Jesus is a characteristic of a life who reflects the life of Jesus. When we're a Christian, we reflect the life of Jesus. That's what's supposed to be in our life. And that's integrity. Integrity demonstrates the inner person, the motive behind the act. And that's what God is looking for. Integrity encompassed all that we do, all that we say, our speech, our motives, our actions, everything about us. That's what integrity is. Are you a person of integrity? In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, it says, a righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. Moms and dads, if you're a person of integrity, how blessed are your children to see you're truthful, you're honest and you tell the truth and they see you as a man and woman of integrity. What a legacy to leave your children to be people of integrity. A mature Christian walks inwardly and outwardly. It's just not outward actions. But people from the inside out, they've been transformed, they've been changed. And God wants us all to be develop our character so we're honest people. Only this type of character will be effective for Jesus. Only this type of character will draw others to Jesus, people who are honest and people of integrity. Only this type of character will bring glory to God and glorify Jesus. He doesn't want us to be out there and be dishonest and to be lying. He wants us to be people who are honest, people of integrity. That's what brings glory to God. Because you go in the world and you see people who say anything to get their way. They'll do anything to get their way. And God says, my people will be people of integrity. Truthful people. Truthful. That's what my people. Integrity and honesty, that's what we're to be. The fourth principle for spiritual development, development helps the leaders. Not only the leader, but it helps other people. In verse 22 and 23, it says, have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you, the simple cases they can decide themselves, that will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied. When others step forward and use their gifts, it helped Moses to meet the needs of the people. Moses didn't have to say, boy, I got to do all this. But Moses had others that would come alongside of him. I'm sure that many days, Moses said, how am I going to meet the needs of the people today, God? Look at it. The line is as far as I could see. What am I going to do here? And he sends his father-in-law to give him some wisdom. He says, Moses, what you need to do is start developing and training people. You need to start to have classes to develop and train the people so they can help you with this, so they can be ministering to the needs of others, because you can't do it alone. The same is inside of the church. We need everyone in the church to step forward and use their talents and gifts to minister to the needs of others. A few can't do it. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in his various forms. Every one of you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you have at least one spiritual gift. Every one of you have at least one. Probably more than that, but everyone has at least one. And you use that spiritual gift to build up the body, to serve others, to build. God didn't give you that gift for you to hide. He gave you that gift so you can serve, to build up the body, to encourage others, to make sure they become who they need to become, so everyone can reach their potential. If you don't use your gift, the body's lacking. And I'm not going to be able to reach my potential if you don't use your gift. And if I don't use my gift, you're not going to be able to reach your potential. I depend upon you and you depend upon me. We depend upon each other to reach our potential. We're not an island. We all depend upon each other. And that's what he's getting across. Moses, you're never able to reach your potential unless you develop others. The church will never be able to reach its potential unless it's building up others and equipping others and training others, is what he's saying. The only way we can meet the people is everyone step forward and use their gifts. That way, no one's overburdened. No one's doing it all, because the work is evenly distributed now. Everyone is doing their part. And God wants us all to be a part of it. That's how God has chose his work to get done inside the church. That's how he chose to have his work done in Moses' time, out of the exodus of Israel, out of Egypt. And that's how he chose to do it in his church. Everyone would be involved. Well, how the development helps the leader? It's an encouragement. When everyone is carrying their load, they become an encouragement to each other. They encourage the leader especially, but all people are encouraged because they're coming alongside of each other and each one is doing their part and the work gets done. It's not the one waking up and saying every day they feel like a failure because they can't accomplish it. They go to bed and they feel like a failure. Man, I had so much more to do, but I couldn't do it all. And I feel like a failure because I can't accomplish it. But we're all working together. We can accomplish what God has us to accomplish. We can all feel like, man, when we go down and put our heads on our pillows at night, we feel, man, it was a great day because we accomplished all that God wanted us to accomplish. And that's what God wants. He wants us to do that. It's an encouragement to all, especially the leader, but to all people, because we're all working together. How does development help the leader? Second, it's endurance. We join together and we do our part. The load and the strain is less for everyone. It's lightened for everyone. It makes it easier for everyone. When all are doing their part, we're able to endure. We're able to keep going for a longer time and able to work together. And it makes it possible for all the work to get done. As I said before, all needs become satisfied. All needs become satisfied. Have you ever watched those long rowboat races? And I'm talking about the ones that get in those races, those long boats, those narrow boats where you have 8 crew members inside. And they're kind of rowing together, and they get in there, and they practice, and they're training and all this. So they can get into that time and start rowing together, and they row that boat. And they're rowing together, going in the right direction, so they can win the race. Across that finish line is what they're doing. So what they do, they kind of get together, and they're training. And they're training to start to row together. When they go forward, all of them go forward, and they come back, and they're rowing. They both have their oars. If one person tried to do it themselves, he would tire out. Wouldn't be able to endure very long. They wouldn't be able to go very fast. But they all work together, those 8 crew members working together. They kind of start rowing, and they start getting a stride. And they start to really move very fast. And I wrote down here, what is a stride when they all get together in a stride? Stride is to achieve a steady, effective pace. Stride is to attain a maximum level of competence. And that's what happens. They all get together, and they get this maximum level of competence. They're able to reach their potential. They're able to really go at a fast pace. And when those rowboats, especially with those 8 crew members that are going, if you watch them, it's like they're gliding on top of the water. It's like they're on a sheet of ice. You don't even see hardly any waves rippling around them. They're just moving so quickly and fast because they're all working together. It's like a real oiled machine going along. But that's the way God wants the church to work together. Now, not one person is trying to do all the rowing. You can see they tire out very quickly. But all of us are working together, all in it together, and we're all taking the oars, and we're all being equipped, we're all being trained, so we hit that stride together and be able to function the way God wants us to function. Remember, stride to achieve a steady, effective pace, so we can all be working just as hard as everyone else. We're hitting that steady, effective pace to attain a maximal level of competence. And what we accomplished there is we're able to reach our potential. That's how you reach your potential. Well, everyone in the body is taking their oars, so to say, using their gifts and their talents to do what God has them to do. We're all working together, going in the same direction, working toward the same common goal. And it says, boy, when you do that, the competence and what you're able to do, you're able to reach your potential by doing that. Well, how does development help the leader? It enhances enhancement. When all people join, the work is enhanced. In Acts 6:7, it says, so the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. When the Jerusalem church gave the apostles the help that they needed, the Bible says that the work expanded, that many people came to faith in Jesus Christ. They were able to reach out to the people. They weren't all just busy at what was going on. They were actually accomplished what God wanted to accomplish. The work was enhanced. It was expanded because they all worked together. If there's only a few doing the work, many times they will tire out, get burnout, and won't be able to accomplish what God wants them to accomplish. It takes everyone being on board, everyone to be a part of it, all working together, going in the same direction to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. That's how it would be powerful and effective, be used by God and really make an impact, not only in our church, in our community, around the world, and that's what God wants. And all people will know we are his disciples because we're loving one another, working together in unity and all those type of things. That's what God wants, us working together, and that way we can accomplish this work. If we don't, we'll never accomplish the work that God wants us to accomplish. It's only by everyone working together. The fifth principle for spiritual development is development blesses the people. In verse 23 through 27, it says, if you do this and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain. And all these people will go home satisfied. Moses listened to his father-in-law, did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel, made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. We see in this passage is you develop and grow as believers in Jesus Christ. Because of your growth, as you encouraged, you're going to bless others. As you continue to grow, you will bless others. If you don't, you really don't bless others. It's because you're growing. You'll be able to build others up and equip and train them. Here's the thing that happens here. I don't know if you've ever discipled a new believer. If you ever had the opportunity to come along someone to just put their faith and trust in Jesus and come alongside them. And what happens with them is they really don't know much about the word. They don't really know much about God. And you start to share those simple truths with them. And you see the twinkling in their eyes where they're starting to get it. They start to understand it. When you first met with them, they had all these questions they could not answer. After you meet with them for a short time, they start to be able to answer those simple questions they had. But then they start to have more questions and more questions. And as they have more questions, you as the one discipling, it causes you, boy, I better sharpen myself. I better get in the Word of God. Because the more they're learning, the more questions they're asking you. So you're growing, they're growing, you're growing. And the more they grow, the more questions they ask, the more you're growing. So it's iron sharpens iron. You're both growing. You both are blessed, and that's what it does. As you grow, I grow. As I grow, you grow. It all works together, and we're all blessed by it. And that's what God says. It's a blessing. The people are blessed by all blessings. But also, it's a blessing to unbelievers. Because as you and I become equipped, as you and I become trained, as you and I start to grow in the Lord and understand the truths of God's word, as we're walking out in the world, we're able to share them in a way they can understand them. We're sharpened. We know the Word of God. We're equipped and trained. And now we have more confidence and we're more bold to share the truths of God. So the world is blessed to hear about Jesus. The world is blessed to hear about the truths of God's Word. Anytime someone hears the truths of God's Word, they're blessed. And now we're able to take this truth out into the world and share it. And we're blessing everywhere we go because we're sharing the truth. So not only when we're equipped and trained and we develop ourselves to bless people in the church, but it blesses everyone. Everyone we come in contact. As we look back at the Israelites' journey from the bondage to this newfound freedom, we can learn many lessons from their lives. We can learn many lessons. Developments such as servants, as the some that were faithful. We see servants such as Samuel and David and Daniel and others we see in the Old Testament. They developed over the time. And we look at these as mighty men, mighty people who walked by faith. Because they were faithful, they weren't always faithful. God always kept a remnant, those who continued to walk with them. Because of their faithfulness, future generations were blessed by them, by God. And if we are faithful, God will bless future generations too by us. God promises in Luke chapter 150, he says this, his mercy extend to those who fear him from generation to generation, he says. If we are faithful to God, our children who we minister to and who we learn the truth and start sharing the truth will be blessed by us. By our actions, our lives lived out, and the words that we share would be blessed by us, and they too will then bless their children, which would be our grandchildren. And it's so important that you and I grow so we can pass on this faith, so we can pass on the truths of God's word. Because if we don't, who will? The world? Others? The schools? No, it must be us. That is why it's so important for you and I to develop your spiritual development. It's so important. So you might bless the next generation, so they might learn it and be able to continue that heritage, a blessing, future generations. If we don't, if we stop in this generation, the next generation may never hear it. So they're relying on us that we might be equipped and trained. So I challenge you, every one of you, to be equipped and trained so you might reach the potential that God has for you in your life, so you might bless others in your life. And bless those you come in contact with sharing the truths of God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we come and we praise you. We thank you so much of your love and your patience and your perseverance that you show each and every day in our life. When we look at Moses and his life, Lord, the obstacle that he came up against was huge. How would he meet the needs of the people? And Lord, you gave him wisdom. You brought someone to him to share that. And Lord, he's able to do that. He's able to meet the needs of the people. And you bless them. Bless them tremendously. Lord, I pray for each person here that, Lord, that we would come and gain wisdom from this message today. That each one of us would come today, Lord, and realize that every one of us need to be equipped and trained. And that equipping and training is being discipled. Never stops. We never arrive. We need to continue to grow. We need to continue to be taught. Need to continue to be in Bible studies. Need to continue to also teach other people too. That we never grow tired of saying, man, I've arrived now. I don't have to do anything. None of us have arrived. We're constantly moving forward by being in Bible studies and teaching others and being small groups and serving. And the process keeps going on. And the reason we do this, Lord, the reason we do this because you've called us to do it so we might bless others with your truth. You have blessed us, and others have been faithful to us to share that wonderful, marvelous truth, that now we might be faithful and be equipped and trained so we too might be able to share that wonderful, marvelous truth that changes lives. Lord, help us to take this seriously. Help us to take it seriously, not only for our sake, but for our children's sake, our grandchildren's sake, our neighbors, our family, our co-workers, for the world, Lord. We need to be faithful to you and all that you have. We are your ambassadors to be sent out to reach the world. Help us to be faithful, Lord. Help us to be faithful. I pray for your blessing in each one of us, Lord. If we need to be convicted, convict us. Convict us. Lord, if we need to be encouraged, encourage us. If we need to be rebuked, rebuke us. Lord, let the word of God train us in your righteousness so that we may be thoroughly equipped for all the good works you have us. Lord, here we are. We want to serve you. Serve you. Help us to be obedient to you in all things. And Lord, we ask these things in the most precious name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.